Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Mimi.
Oh. Hey, Gigi.
When you're driving around, just seeing the town. Sitting bored at home, feeling all alone. Fill up a glass, pick out a glass. We got the tea, we got the sauce. Get queerified.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get queerified.
Hey, I'm Gigi Gorgeous. Oh my God, Mark, shut up. They're going to hear us.
This is Mimi, and we're currently in hell.
If you're listening to this pod, we probably didn't make it.
Oh my God, this is it. We are not going to make it.
Wait, but our listeners need to know to rate and review. It helps us so much. Like this from Mr. Shemp 2, who said, definitely my go-to podcast. Aw.
Shh. I think I heard footsteps.
Oh, don't worry, girl. The listeners are here now.
We're gonna fucking die.
Don't forget to call our hotline at 1-844-QUEERIES.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Now that's QUEERYS. Nothing is off limits, girl.
Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come.
Our next guest is no stranger to the L word.
Has 8 souls.
And will be your new pinhead this year in Hellraiser.
Oh my God, Judy, you've really done it this time. Here he comes. It was nice knowing you.
Ugh, you are so dramatic. Here is Jamie Clayton. All right, we are back with none other than Miss Jamie Clayton. Welcome to Queerified.
Thank you so much.
Woohoo! Yeah, we are so excited to have you.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you both so much.
I was gagged when she said yes. Oh my God, actually, first of all, let's start with your pronouns. This is a safe space pod. And I would just love for you to like speak on that.
She, her, hers, gorgeous, your majesty. All of those feminine situations.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Of course. We are huge fans of you. I love Sense8. I'm just going to get it out there already.
I love that. Thank you so much. It's funny. You all talked about that on Chris Olsen's episode. Just get it out of the way. Come on. You love me.
Yes. No, we die.
I loved it so much that I literally could not watch the last episode because I didn't want to say goodbye to the characters. Like, it's still going on.
Yet?
No, because it's too sad. Like, I don't want it to end.
Oh,
like,
you
I
have to see the movie.
I know.
The movie's so special.
Oh my God.
You heard?
Well, it's homework for everyone.
Every episode is like a movie. So it's insane.
Gets 2.5 hours long. It's like the big, you know, it was for the fans are the ones who got it. They, you know, their rally cry got us our 2.5 hour long movie.
It's just sad to say goodbye to characters you love. It's like, it's an app to sit down, find the moment, and then get into it. But now I will, because you told me to, so now I have to. But anyways, thank you for coming on to our show. We do, we have a bunch of questions for you because we're huge fans, but let's go from the beginning. Where did Jamie Clayton grow up?
Well, I'm from San Diego, California. So California girl through and through.
Love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I moved to New York when I was 19. And worked as a makeup artist for ages before I started actressing.
That's actually one thing I knew about you from the L Word Girls podcast.
Yes.
Called Pants.
Kate Manning and Leisha Haley.
Yes. They have a podcast called Pants and they like mm-hmm. review each episode. I haven't watched the L Word that long, but it's such a good listen.
Oh,
like they're
I
such
love,
cute
I know.
Friends.
They have been friends for so long. Yeah, and their nickname is Pants because they're each like one leg of a pair of pants.
Cute.
That's how close they are. Yeah, and I did their podcast during season 2, like while we were filming season 2 of the L Word Generation Q. Yeah, they're the best. I love them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you were a MAC girl. I mean, literally growing up in high school, I used to like steal from MAC Cosmetics.
Oh, yes.
That was like my thing. And I always dreamed of being a MAC girl, but I just never applied myself. Yeah. How was that experience? I know it was a long time ago, but like, yeah, I mean, walk us through like that.
A whole lifetime ago. But no, that was a dream of mine. So I was in San Diego and I wanted to move to New York to be a makeup artist. And mm-hmm. my dream, I mean, you know, those were the 90s. I wanted to work at MAC. I mean, it was like, I mean, it was the pinnacle. It yes. was everything. Thing.
For a lot of
little
people, yes.
Round pots of shadows with the screw off tops and, you know, all the lipsticks. And oh my God, I mean, it was everything. And being a club kid in San Diego. Yeah. So I moved to New York and I worked my tush off. And I eventually got a job at MAC and I worked for MAC and Shiseido and NARS. And yeah, I worked at, you know, all the counters at all the department stores.
I need to know, back in the day when you were a counter girl, what was a standout story for you, good or bad? Because we all know how customer service, is it a customer service job?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been in the service industry. Before I started actressing, like, I was in the service industry exclusively, like working in retail and restaurants, you know, as a server. I mean, I was a DJ, a go-go dancer. I did the door at places. Wow. I mean, I did it all in the
service industry.
I live for
you.
Yeah, thank you.
I live for you. Also, guys, mm-hmm. I know you're not this close to her, but like, the brows are so goals. It's like,
you.
Cara Delevingne, who? Your brows are
thank
stunning.
You. I'm old enough to be her mother, so they're... They're my
looks fucking amazing.
Thank you. Wait, what was the question?
A standout story. So here on Queerified,
that's right. That's
I'm
right.
always
that's
I'm
right.
so I'm so nosy. Like I worked mm-hmm. a clothing brand job for many years, and it was just I had horror stories. I threw jeans at a girl. I just had it up to here with her. It was written up many times. So I want to know, what's a standout story at MAC Cosmetics or any beauty job that you had?
I was. You know Patricia Fields, of course, in New
yes.
York. Okay, mm-hmm. so out like this is, I think, pre-MAC or maybe post-MAC. I can't remember. I think it was pre-MAC. But I worked at Pat's shop called Hotel Venus on East mm-hmm. Broadway in Soho. And I was fired by my manager. She's called Carolina. And Carolina, I was
Carolina.
Always late. Don't be late. And I was late
Don't
today,
late, yes.
and I was mortified. And
you're
this is,
7 minutes late.
I know. This is traffic was bad. This is one of the reasons, though, why I have trauma around being late. So I was always late. I mean, I was like 20. I was a child. And Carolina fired. She called me to the front desk one day at Hotel Venus. And she was like, you know, I'm going to fire you. And I want you to know, if you want to be a woman of the 90s, you are never to be late. It's very tacky. And she fired me on the spot in front of everyone.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, shit. Okay, I was never late again. Never.
A woman of the 90s.
Yeah, she was like, if you want to be a woman of the 90s, you cannot be late. It's tacky. That's what she said. And I was like, oh, and she was Brazilian and beautiful. And I was like, oh God, I'm such a little night. You know, when you're 20, you think your shit doesn't stink.
Yes.
You think you
mm-hmm.
know everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was never late ever again. That was a very standout retail moment.
It sounds like it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everyone needs to be put in their place sometimes. Let's be real.
Yeah. No, it's true. Yeah.
Once in a while. Once
Especially
in a while.
Especially young trans girls who think that they're the shit.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of trans, what was your, I just said that so casually, speaking of trans, what was your journey with gender like?
What does that mean, my journey with gender?
Like coming out story, I actually want to know this
like,
too.
How did
yeah,
you
like,
find yourself, your gender?
Did you find it hard coming out? Was it like a linear line or did you have roadblocks in the way?
Well, so the interesting thing I think about growing up, like when I did, you know, being a woman of my age, I mean, there was really no internet.
I
like,
can't with you in the age.
I know, I can't either. I'm like,
amazing.
Thank
is she 29? Like,
I
what is she going
being,
on about?
You know, I love getting older. I love it. You know, it's all of the insecurities and all the bullshit wash away. But, mm-hmm. you know, growing up in the 90s, like being a teenager, I mean, I didn't have access to the internet. I didn't have, those things didn't exist. And so as far as like representation and people that I could look up to, I didn't have that. You know, the only time I ever saw that, you know, was like the school teacher from Iowa on Maury Povich who transitioned, you know, and the whole audience is screaming, you know, like, that's yeah. a man, Maury.
Totally.
You know, it's like, so it was really tough. And I didn't know that transition was really possible until I moved to New York. And that's when I was 19 years old and I started meeting trans women for the first time, like, but like drop dead gorgeous, like beautiful, successful, like in relationships with jobs.
Let's name drop. I want to know.
Oh, well, I mean, the two that I was working at a restaurant called Stingy Lulu's in the East Village. And one, I was on the late shift because I was the new girl. Mm-hmm. And one evening, these two women came in, Christina and Marisol, and they were one Puerto Rican and Costa Rican. And both of them grew up in New York in like the Lower East Side. And they came in one night really late. You know, we were open until 4 o'clock in the morning. We would get all the people coming from all the clubs like Limelight and Tunnel and whatever. They'd come in for a burger, you know, and they'd keep drinking. And it was very glamour, very gorgeous, you know, very like, you know, New York in like the late 90s. And they clocked me hard. Like, I hadn't been on hormones or anything, but, you know, I mean, I was just working, you know, like, as a woman, like, at this diner. And they were like, you know, how long have you been moaning, mommy? And I was like, what is that? And then they were like, taking hormones. And I was like, oh, I'm not, wait, what?
Clocked.
And they were with two gentlemen that they had brought with them from the club. They literally told the guys to leave. And they were like, come sit with us.
I love that.
Oh, and like sisterhood. God. Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time. Wow. This is wow. like 1997. And they had
we were five.
Yeah. They had me sit with them and we talked all night. And then they walked me home. We got pizza on St. Mark's and we talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. And it was in that moment I was like, I could transition. I could do this. Like, I could have a successful, happy life.
This is insane. I feel like, Mimi, of course you know this, but our stories are so similar.
Aww. Yeah.
I went to New York on work, and I was at cafeteria with like Amanda Lepore.
Yep.
Like,
I love
the
Mandy.
Yasmin Petties, like just like so many other people. And this other girl who I won't name, she was trans and she gave me the courage to come out. It was in New York at a diner where people were continuing to drink after the club.
Oh, yeah.
And I really did feel my oats. We talked all night. She went in the taxi home with me. And ever since then, I was like, it is a linear line. I'm a full girl. Like, and I'm going to really like take charge of my own life and do this.
100% from that moment. That's when I was like, I'm going to get a job with health insurance and I'm going to find a doctor and I'm going to get on hormones and that's it. I'm going to fucking do this. And then it was like laser focused.
Oh, I love that. Wow. We have way more in common than I thought.
Oh!
It's really good. Yeah.
It's nice to hear nice stories because we always hear the horror stories about trans people not supporting each other.
Oh, of course.
Like there's jealousy, but like to hear that, it's like, right, that does happen. And like, you sometimes just ignore it because you think it should be normal, but it's beautiful. Like,
yeah, no, those two women are my guardian angels. I love them. And I've, you know, I've told that story before and I love that story. And like, it, you know, tickles me every time I tell it because it's so unreal. It's like, sometimes when I'm telling it too, I'm like, did I like make this whole fucking thing up? And I'm
right.
like, no, it's real. Like that really happened. Those two women were amazing to me for no other reason than just sisterhood.
Right.
Sisterhood.
Sisterhood is everything. And if you're not a girl's girl, then I pray that you become one.
What are you
one
doing?
Because it's fucking everything to help
true.
Someone out. I feel like I've pushed so many girls into their dreams of becoming trans because I was pushed too.
Yes.
And it's like, you just never, you need someone to be like, yes, you can do this.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we hope this podcast is. Honestly, anybody listening is like, yeah, like you can do this. Like,
that's why I wanted to do your show because like, I love the name Queerified and like the both of you are so cool and it's so like queer positive and I'm obsessed with all that stuff. Yes.
Let's talk about your acting a little bit because you are a huge actress. I mean,
thank you.
Oh my God. How did that start? How did you become an actress? Where did that come from?
So I was, again, living in New York, and I was working as a makeup artist, and I started to dabble in special effects makeup. I wanted to get into that. I actually was really into horror movies. I loved, like, all the Japanese stuff. Like, this director
the
called Takashi Miike, and, well, no, like, The Audition, and, like, darker, like, much darker Japanese horror. Like,
love it.
Like, yeah, like, really good stuff. And then you had mentioned, like, Hostel.
Hostel Saw. Mm-hmm. That's, like, what we grew up on.
Yeah,
like, so, like, those, so I was, you know, dipping my toe into those things. And then I remember Fight Club being a really big influence. Like when in the Fight Club, you know, like the all the special effects makeup on the pretty boy, like that. I remember seeing that and thinking, oh, wow, like I could take my makeup career like out of fashion and kind of like in that direction. And so I had this dream of becoming a special effects makeup artist. I started apprenticing with this gentleman in New York. And I got like a little bit of press, like I did an interview and I got like a little bit of press where I was able to talk about moving my career into that space. And I needed, like a new, anytime an interview is done, you know, they want some sort of like everybody wants like an original photo, like that hasn't been published before.
Mm-hmm. It's exclusive.
It's so annoying. I know.
So we need that for today too.
We're going to ask you for one of those.
Yes,
as well.
No, I'll totally give you one. Yay! And so an ex-boyfriend of mine was like, you should speak to my friend, Brad Calcaterra, who also runs like an acting studio and he does headshots. You should have him do a new headshot for you. And I was like, oh, okay. So I went and I talked to Brad. And Brad was like, tell me your story. And so I told him, you know, like my story up until that moment. And he said, I'll make you a deal. I'll do your headshot gratis, but come and audit this class that I teach called Risk. And auditing in like a class is when you go and you take the class for free. So
oh, really? Okay.
I was like, sure, I'll audit your class and sit in it and watch everyone. You're going to do my headshot for free. Why not?
Of course.
I sat in this acting class again, called Risk, where it was not a traditional acting class where you do scenes. Mm-hmm. It was, he referred to it as an emotional core work class. So people were getting up, you know, and talking about their trauma and their lives and the things that they'd been through. And there's always a theme in the class. There was mm-hmm. always a theme. So like, let's say, you know, it was like mothers. So it was like, okay, talk about your mom and the shit that you've been through with your mom, you know, but now do it all in a Southern accent. So the accent helps sort of
I
like.
I want to do that.
I do too. That sounds fun.
It was really fun. And watching these people get up and work, I fully had like an acid flashback. It was like the most intense, surreal thing. And usually when you audit, you don't work. But Brad mm-hmm. called me up to work and I worked and I was like, oh, wow. And it blew my mind. And then the next day we did my headshot and the headshot was so gorgeous. I was like, oh, I'm going to enroll in your classes. And so yeah, I enrolled in his classes.
Naturally.
So I started. I had also just never been given the I don't know if permission is the right word, but I'd mm-hmm. never been given the permission to step in front of the camera into mm-hmm. the light. As a trans person growing up, when I did, I was taught if you pass, you hide and you don't tell mm-hmm. anyone and you just, you don't talk about it and you don't deserve anything more, especially if you're passing that's your gift and you shut the fuck up and you sit in a corner mm-hmm. and you don't deserve anything other than that. And you pass. And so shut up, bitch.
And how has that changed for you now?
Well, taking those classes, it boosted my confidence through the roof. I mean, I worked on all of my trauma and all of my bullshit about like the way that I look and the way that I sound and what society thinks and what, you know, and oh my goodness, so much just mud that had been slung on me my entire life. I began to wash all of it away. Mm-hmm.
Obsessed. Yeah. I think everyone needs some form of class. Like yours, right?
Oh, well, yeah, class and therapy and, you know, shame work and, mm-hmm. and you know, getting shame rid of work. All it. Yes, like Brené Brown, you know, getting rid of shame and trauma and realizing, yes. you know, that like you are not your, I'm not my shame. I'm not mm-hmm. the shit that I've been through. I'm not that breakup or that death or that, you know, I'm not those things. I'm not, you know, that moment when I got fired. That doesn't define me. I don't have to be ashamed of it.
Right.
Do you use those in your techniques now? Like, are you a method actress or do you just turn it on like a...
I'm not method, but I definitely 100%. I mean, everything that I'm talking about is 100% the
through
foundation
you?
Work for all of my actressing, all of it, every single mm-hmm. bit of it.
I love that you say actressing also. Oh! I've never heard that. Have you heard that, Mimi? Yeah.
No, but it's
I've never heard
now.
That. I love it. It's like ultra feminine.
Thank you.
It's not actor. It's not actress. It's, oh, I'm actressing. I'm going to start using that.
It's just that it's funny to me. Like I started saying it ages ago. And I remember Justin Vivian Bond, like she reached out and asked me, like, you know, do you prefer... like actor or actress. And I was like, oh, sweetie, I was like, I say actressing because it's such a joke to gender our careers. There isn't like a banker and a banktress.
Yeah.
There isn't like, you know, and it's so dumb when someone says like a female CEO. It's like,
A CEO, if you will.
I know, it's hilarious. And so, and I don't care. I'm like, I'm an actor, I'm an actress, I'm whatever. And so I like mm-hmm. to sort of take the piss out of it and just be like, oh yeah, actressing. Like I started actressing because yes. it's hilarious to me. It's like, careers don't have genders.
What do you think of award shows? Because that's gendered and just awards in general. I mean, like, obviously you should probably win awards.
Thank but you. Like,
because like, I sometimes think like, wow, like you really think that you won the Oscar because you're the best actress? Like, it's so serious sometimes. I'm like, okay, you were amazing. But also like a lot of people were amazing. And how do we compare actresses? So like, what are your thoughts on that?
God, that's like a really interesting, deep question. I mean, yeah, I think that there are every year there are so many mm-hmm. incredible performances, you know, and I think that the biggest press that comes out during award season is always the snubs. It's always mm-hmm. like these people were snubbed, that's these true. People were snubbed, and sometimes it distracts from the people that actually are nominated. I mean, you know, when award season comes around, do I think that everyone who's nominated deserves it? Absolutely the fuck not.
No. Totally. Like, it's a dick sucking no. level.
It is,
right?
And it's also, mm-hmm. you know, like those are very guarded inner circles within yeah. Hollywood, you know, and a lot of people don't know, you know, but there's campaigning that goes into these yes. awards. So it's like if you're nominated for Best Actress, you have to campaign, and which means mm-hmm. you go to like cocktail party. I don't know how that looks with COVID, but you have
cocktail
to,
Zooms.
Cocktail Zooms. You know, yeah, you have to go around. It's like, you know, and like what they say with politicians, you know, like kiss babies and shake hands. It's like, and mm-hmm. you know, I have not been allowed into those spaces, into those inner circles. It's hard enough for me, you know, to just get auditions. So as far as awards go, who knows?
Oh, bitch, mm-hmm. they're coming.
Thank you.
I want to go back to actually something you said a couple minutes ago. The shame.
Yes.
And getting over the, I guess, dysphoria of being trans. Does that still creep up on you? And if so, how do you kind of nip that in the bud?
Yes. I mean, oh, God, that's excellent. Ah, like, makes me emotional.
me too. It's so real. You can get over it, but it creeps up. She's always there.
It creeps up. I mean, the thing is, I love being trans first. Like, first and foremost, I fucking love being trans. Every mm-hmm. bit about me, like, my sense of humor, my sense of style, you know, like, the way that I, you know, do everything is because of my transness. It has completely informed who I am mm-hmm. and the way that I move in the world. And I love being trans. I would not trade it for anything. I love it. But yeah, yes, and I'm trans, you know. It's like, and I will always be trans, and no matter mm-hmm. how much success I achieve, or if I play a part that, you know, is written or trans is not, or, you know, whether I'm playing, you know, like some, you know, Cenobite from hell, I'm always trans. I'm always going to be trans, and there are going to be people who don't like that and who don't mm-hmm. see me as equal. They see me as less than because of that. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've been on sets, you know, where I've been misgendered. I've been like,
oh, wow.
like recently, you know what I mean? Like, I'm talking within like the past couple of years. It doesn't matter how much success you achieve as a trans person. There will always be people who will weaponize it against mm-hmm. you, to degrade you, to try to make you feel less than. Mm-hmm. What I try to do is really sit in that has nothing to do with me.
Ugh, love that.
Exactly, yeah. Period.
I love uh-huh. that.
Absolutely nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
It's not Jamie Clayton, like the trans woman. It's any trans, it's like, it has nothing to do with me. It's just, it's trans people in general. It's their level of, you know, self-hatred with themselves.
Sadness.
It's their sadness, their depression, mm-hmm. their anxiety, their shame that they haven't worked through. And they're just,
exactly.
again, slinging it around like mud onto people like me. Mm-hmm. And it's my job, you know, to just slough it off.
And I think that's so important to say. That's why I asked you that, because it's so real. Like, the dysphoria, we can put it at bay. We can have a great week. We can have a great year, a month, whatever. But it always will kind of creep back. And I think that what you said is so eloquently put. It really has nothing to do with us.
Nothing.
And it's
nothing
as simple as that. Yeah. And like, and you almost get to a point where it's like, bitch, misgender me. It's fine. It's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Because exactly. I could take it.
Because I'm like, well, and at the end of the day, I'm like, I'm a movie star, so.
Yes, exactly.
I always just say, it's not my business. Like, what you think of me is not my business, and you can think whatever you want, like,
exactly,
truly.
Exactly, because I get to go mm-hmm. home and be me. And I get
I sleep well at night.
Exactly.
And see me.
Mm-hmm. I'm worried if my husband starts misgendering me. Oh. I'm worried if my best friend starts misgendering me.
Then
not,
we have
not
a problem.
Some random yeah. person on the street, yeah. not some random, uh-huh. you know. Uh-huh.
It's, then we're going to have a talk.
That's going to be an issue. Might even turn physical, if you know what I mean.
Oh my God. You're about to dive headfirst into the iconic League of Horror Greats. You're going to star as Pinhead in Hellraiser.
Yes.
Are you gagging?
That is huge.
I still don't. Sitting here on this couch with you, like, it's filmed, it's done, they're editing. Like, mm-hmm. I went and did the gallery shoot for it, like the press shoot. I don't know. Wow. I'm in a blackout. I have no idea what I've just done. Like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know, like, why.
So exciting, though. I'm so excited for you. I mean, I know the feeling of just like filming something and waiting for it to come out, but bitch, this is like a whole nother level.
No,
like,
I know.
You really are about to be like iconic horror thriller status.
I mean, it's funny. I was talking with Candace about this because she was like, you know, going on and on and on, being very complimentary in the same manner that you are. I have to sort of like take a step back and be like, oh my God, like, no, like, calm down, like, whatever, like, it could bomb, everyone could hate me, like, I don't know. And she's like, oh my God, just let yourself like be. Candace is very good at like telling me to just like be happy for myself and like, and enjoy it. Because I do, I have a hard time sort of like stepping into like, yes, I did that.
Right, like, right. What's your sign?
I'm a Capricorn.
Capricorn, okay.
Capricorn.
Okay. I'm Taurus Aries.
Okay.
She's Virgo.
I'm a Virgo.
Okay. Oh my God, Taurus, and we're all like, we're perfectly romantically matched.
Yes, we're good. We're all good here.
We would be a great throuple.
Anyone down for a poly?
Oh God, yes. I'm like, any Taurus or Virgo gentleman listening, hello.
Yes.
Oh, she's like, single.
I'm single and straight. So like, let's do this.
Work.
Hello. Okay, work.
Okay, I'm going through my Rolodex. I got some people.
Oh, really?
Oh my God, it's so funny. Look.
What?
One's calling now. I'm not kidding.
Oh, who is
one
it?
One is calling now. Max. I'm not kidding. Single.
Wait,
straight.
Max.
Oh, hi.
Max. Okay, I'm going to decline because we're doing something.
Okay, yeah. We're busy. We're busy.
Okay, wait. So this is really annoying, but while we're on the topic of acting, I want to play a little game, and I'm just going to ask you point blank. Is that okay?
Oh my God. Okay. Okay. Yes. AMA. What is it? Ask me anything.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you, Jamie Clayton, cry on demand?
Oh, I mean, yes.
Can you do it now on the podcast?
You want me to?
She's starting.
She's starting. It's happening.
Wait, no, but why would you ask me to do that? Like on the...
Not to hurt your feelings, like, just right educational.
Now, like, we're recording this. Like, why would you? This is like kind of fucked up that you would like ask me to just like start fucking crying like in the middle of the podcast. Like, I like put on mascara and like I fucking drove all the way here, and then you want me to like start fucking crying. Like,
the tears are welling.
So fucked up.
Oh my God.
The tears are welling.
I'm dying. Anne Hathaway, who?
She can do it, people. She can do it.
Oh my God.
How do you
is there
do
a
that?
Trick?
Well, that? Again, it's not having shame around trauma. So it, you know, okay. I mean, I've lived a life. I've, you know, been through stuff. There's been trauma. And I think that if we can let go of the shame around that trauma, it's a lot easier to access it. So I can start.
So you pull it from inside.
Exactly.
It's yours.
Do you think about a thought in particular?
Yes.
You do.
I mean, it depends on the scene that I'm doing, you know, and you can access like certain situations or certain people, certain things that have happened. And then I put that thing like in the scene. And so then while I'm doing the scene or talking to who I'm talking to or whatever it is that I'm doing, I can start accessing that trauma and that moment. The hard part is when I was early on in my career, the hard part was turning it off when the camera stopped rolling. I had a very hard time. I could access the trauma very easily and then go there, and everyone was so impressed, and then I would have to like go to my trailer and like cry.
Recover.
And scream and like
scream in a pillow. Yeah, that was our next question, actually. Yeah. Do you go back to your hotel room or trailer or whatever and just scream in a pillow like from all the emotion?
Yes. 100%. And like, and while I was doing Hellraiser, I continued to have my therapy sessions like via Zoom, because that was a lot. You know, just the subject matter of the film and some of the scenes that we were doing. It's like, it's a horror film. I've never done anything like it. It was very graphic and very, so therapy every week, never miss it. Oh my God, can't live without it.
Pro therapy.
Oh yeah, super pro therapy. Oh my God, love therapy.
Okay, well, that was fun. I wish we could cry on demand, Mimi.
I think I could. So like my trick is like keeping your eye open and like letting the wind itch your eye.
Like, oh well, God, that's not like emotional though.
That will a lot
it's
of
an acting
actors.
Trick.
There's these little menthol, little like
the blowing, these, yeah.
Yes, and it's menthol, and they will blow that into actors' eyes to help them too. I've never
used that. That's what I would need.
Oh, I mean, clearly not. She just did it literally in 20 seconds.
Is it as scary filming a horror story as it is watching it? Like, you just talked about how it was kind of hard emotionally, but like, is it spooky or is it like lights in front of you? Is it bright?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Well, that, I mean, that's the funny thing about being like on a set is that, you know, you show up and there are like lights, you know, and you're, it's like, you know, they're pouring fake blood all over everything. And so, it, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it lifts the veil a slight bit, but
totally,
you know, when I'm there after sitting in makeup for 4.5 hours, you know, and I'm, you know, we did a lot of location shoots in Serbia, you know, so it was like outside, we were doing night shoots, obviously, cause it's a horror film. So doing like night shoots in Serbia, like on location, and it was freezing fucking cold. And I'm wearing, you know, can't tell you what I'm wearing, but like, I'm like, oh God, I have to really stop myself. I'm going to be like Tom Holland with all the Spider-Man shit. Like,
yeah. Right. Like leaked footage. There's like, our exclusive meeting.
There we go. We got it. We got
such
it.
Such like Disney's going to be like knocking on my door with handcuffs.
Totally.
Yes. I mean, it was unlike anything I've ever done. It's traumatic filming some of those scenes, especially as I got to know some of the actors that I was working with, you know, who I really enjoyed, you know, and was like building friendships with, you know, to see horrible things happen to them was really traumatic. It's a very interesting situation filming a horror movie and being the antagonist,
the baddie.
Super baddie.
Oh, I'm so fucking excited. I mean,
we know someone who auditioned for that role, don't we? Can you,
we
even,
did.
Can you say
well, it was actually in the news. It was
okay,
headline
it
news
was.
Yeah.
Headline news in the New York Post. It was there. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. But one of Gigi's best friends was auditioned for your role, and you got the role.
And you know what's so funny? We were talking just before we hit record on this podcast. When that article came out, she had already wrapped. It was done. Isn't that hilarious? They really want to like...
The Hollywood publicity machine is very calculated.
I got it.
They want to like scramble everyone's brains to make it like not know what's going on. I was gagged by that. I was like, are you excited to film? She's like, oh, we're done. I was like, no.
Yeah, no. What? I wrapped like in the end of September, then went to Paris for Loewe. And then I've been home like October, November, December, January, February. I mean, yeah, I've been home for 5 months.
Are you going stir crazy?
Yes. I mean, I'm a Capricorn. I love working. I'm a little work, you know, the little goat going up the hill. I need to be working. I've been doing random stuff around my apartment, like zhuzhing my apartment. Cause I go like a little stir crazy.
I love a zhuzh. You could tell that you're a workaholic too. Like all the jobs you've had, like you're a hustler.
You.
I love that. I respect that a lot.
Thank you.
It's also about like when I see someone working a lot, I don't think it's a hustle. I think it's a nice, like, oh, people love to work with you.
It's
like you're
you.
Like if when an actress is working, I just think, oh, they're loved.
She must
like,
be pleasant.
They get jobs. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
like,
yeah,
that's what I think.
I mean,
of.
I have a strong reputation like that I've been cultivating for years. You know, I'm on time. I know my lines. I show up. I'm no drama, no bullshit. I'm like, let's do this.
Love it.
I'm so grateful. Just
love
to
it.
Be working. And I say no to a lot of work. It's a lot of
really?
Crap. I read a lot of crap.
I bet. I mean,
oh,
you're at a place where
bad.
You can. You don't say yes to everything, right?
Yeah, no.
So I wanted to ask this. I don't know if this is our closing question, but I think it is a really, really important one. So as a queer person, what advice do you have for our listeners who may want to break into the industry and don't know where to start?
Ah, excellent question.
Mm-hmm. Inside the actor's studio. Yes.
Listen, work on dropping your fucking ego. Go to class. Nobody's good, you know, it's like if you want to get really good at yoga, you have to go take yoga to get flexible. You can't just take a couple of acting classes, maybe get lucky, book a job, and then stop taking acting classes. You need to keep taking classes. You need to go to therapy, work on your shame stuff, work on your trauma, get rid of your ego. You're not too good for anything. You know, work on your stuff and then definitely be in class. Like I recommend everyone Rain Valdez classes that she teaches through her Now More Than Ever. They're called Act Now. They're like a safe space for queer artists to explore their craft. They do scene work, they do, you know, monologues, they do all of the classic actressing training in her classes. They're fucking amazing. Take classes, get a therapist, drop your fucking ego, and link up with a couple of people that you're in class with or a couple of friends like other actors, and so that you have a little group of people that you can self-tape with, that you can, you know, bounce ideas off of, because we cannot do this alone. You know, and I think as creative people, as actors, I know that I tend to get into my head a lot. I'm super self-deprecating. I'm super judgmental. You know, we're our own worst critics. So have friends that you can do self-tapes with who will coach you, you know, like I still get coached on every single. I taped an audition yesterday and had a friend of mine who's a very successful actor. I had him tape it and coach me on it because don't have an ego that I got Tom Holland.
It's Brad Pitt.
It was Brandon Flynn, who is in Hellraiser. We've become really close friends. He's amazing.
Thank you for that answer. All I heard from that is do the work. Because I think some people just want to be famous. Like, I want to be an actress. But there's work to be done.
100% agree with you. I think that there's this, you know, ideology, especially like with, you know, younger people. I think with a lot of queer people, I think that, you know, like, yes, we are special as queer, you know, mm-hmm. our queerness inherently is special. But that mm-hmm. doesn't mean that we deserve everything without the work. You know, you mm-hmm. have to like put in the work and show up and like, yes, just go to class and get a therapist.
And maybe if mm-hmm. you don't want to put in the work, like I feel like you're a workaholic. We all are here on the pod. Maybe if you don't want to put in the work, maybe you don't want it. You want to be an actor, but you want to be given it. Exactly. Maybe you don't want to be an actor that bad.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to go to therapy and figure out why your ego is telling you that you deserve it without the work. Hello.
Mm-hmm. I heard the ego part a lot. I feel like the second you drop your ego, mm-hmm. really things start like falling into place and
yep.
you start noticing everybody else's ego a little bit. It's 100%. Like, why do you think you're so special? Like, yep. girl, like, yes. look at all pull I've accomplished. Together. Not to like pull out the resume, but like,
no,
I should have a bigger ego than you.
100%.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Like, if we're going to compare yeah. actual egos, it's like, be like,
calm the ego down. No, I'm kidding.
Yes. Yeah, like down to earth, bitch. Humble, relax.
We're all in our own way a little bit. I mean, you know, and I still do it. Mm-hmm. So I work on it. You know, I'm constantly working on it, just like yoga classes.
Everybody gets up in the morning, bitch.
Everybody.
Just the same way.
Oh my God.
Well,
yes.
Okay. Thank you for answering that last question. At the end of every episode, we answer some queries from people that call in. Would yes. you like to stay with us?
I would love to.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Queerified. We are here with the Jamie Clayton, and we are about to take your questions. So if you have any questions for us, any queries, sorry, please call us on our hotline at 1-844-QUEERIES.
That's 1-844-QUEERYS. As usual, you guys know nothing is off limits. Give us everything, advice, confessions, a death threat, who knows? Just give it to us. We want to hear. And we've been having so much fun. Jamie, are you ready to dive in?
I'm super ready. This is like so fun. I love this part of your show.
Okay, all right, let's go in. Question number one.
Hi, it's Rebecca. I've called on here before. I'm from Seattle, Washington. But I just wanted to say some exciting news is I won Fathoms of Fun Queen of 2022. And if you have Facebook, you can look them up. It's a really cool program. It's a scholarship program, actually. And I actually won Queen, which is so exciting. But my question to you is, I'm part of the LGBTQ community. I'm pansexual. And my question is, what do you think, how would I represent this community in a positive way? Because I want to show that I love everybody. Okay, I love you. You guys are gorgeous, and I just want to say hi to the special guest. Welcome to the podcast. We love you. This family, this podcast is a family, and we love each other. Love you guys. Mwah.
Rebecca, thank you for calling us. That was so cute. Congratulations on your title.
Congratulations, Rebecca.
That is amazing. And also great question, because you are here with two queer trailblazers who represent their communities very well. What advice do you have for Rebecca now that she has a title and gets to represent?
I first of all just want to say this struck a chord in me. So anybody listening, mm-hmm. also congrats, Rebecca, first and foremost. My sister actually just auditioned for a huge reality show. She didn't end up getting it, but she put herself out there. And I think that that's exactly what Rebecca mm-hmm. did. She put herself mm-hmm. out there, and look at that. The bitch won. That's just, you never really think, like, people always doubt themselves. I'm not good enough. I'm not going to win. Like, this isn't worth it. There's so many other people that are more deserving. You never know. If there's something that you mm-hmm. really like want to raffle in or audition for, go for it. Look at Rebecca. I think that's mm-hmm. so important. Like, anybody that's like questioning it right now, you should do it.
But also, I want to hear your thoughts first, Jamie.
Well, congratulations. It's super exciting for you. That's so rad. But as far as representing your community, you're already doing it, sweetie. You just said it out loud, you know, on a podcast for the whole world to hear. Just keep doing that. Keep being yourself. That's just being you and being truthful to yourself. And, you know, your friends and loved ones, that's representation in and of itself. It's all you gotta do, baby.
And you've already did the hard work, so enjoy yourself. This is so fun, so exciting, and I'm glad that the prize was a scholarship, because that's amazing. Congratulations, Rebecca. Ooh. Okay, our next question.
Hey, Gigi. Hey, Mimi. This is Anthony from Madrid, Spain. So, Gigi, I wanted to ask you, what's the craziest memories that you have with a fan? Like, do you have any memories? What's your top three? For example, myself, I remember meeting you in Paris for Fashion Week. Then we ran into you into a club. You were so kind, so lovely. You invited us to go to your table. We had the blast. We had the best night ever. And yeah, it's an unforgettable memory for me. And I want to know, like, what's your top three fan encounters? I love you so much. I love listening to your show, guys, every week. And yeah, I love you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Anthony, hi, Madrid. Thank you for calling in. That is a really great question. Before Gigi answers, I just want to say I'm always so, like, in awe of how nice Gigi is to her fans. Like, she takes time. And I think it's because you understand. Like, you understand what it means for people. And you really give them your time and you're generous with your with yourself. And you look them in the eye and you listen and you make connections. And it's, like, real. It's not like, you know, I don't know. I don't know how other people do it. But it's just very genuine. So
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of so many people. I feel like literally, yeah. Like, I go up to people and fangirl. And I'm so disappointed a lot of the time, like, with celebrities and musicians, whoever it may be. I'm like, oh, like, they didn't really give me, like, the, like, genuine authenticity. And I get people are going through things. I understand that. But there is a little bit of... oh, that sucked for me, you know?
A lot,
and I try to not leave anybody with that feeling. Even if I'm not feeling it, even if I'm in the shittiest mood, I feel like crying, whatever it may be, just that is my escape. And a lot of the time, like, it makes me feel way better when I have that authentic interaction. So, like, as much as I gave Anthony, like he's saying, he gave me just as much. And of course, I invited him over to my table in Paris because I was having fun. And I love that memory. I feel like one of the biggest memories for me, though, fan wise, I don't really like the word fan, but was when I first started, like, online, Mark, you'll remember this. There was a girl who had cancer and she was in the hospital and it was a family friend. And we went in and she could barely speak. She was on her hospital bed, but her, like, her eyes and she would, like, laugh and her body language would tell exactly how she was feeling. And that was one of the first times that I was ever like, holy shit, like, this is, like, a core memory for this girl, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was so crazy because I would have never seen her out at the mall or, you know, at a drive-thru anywhere, walking. I had to go to the hospital to meet her. And it was just so crazy. Like, I felt so blessed that day. And that was definitely, it's a core memory for me. I'll just never, ever, ever forget that. Being like, she knows who I am and, like, she literally can't even speak. Like, it was just so wild for me. What about you, Jamie?
Oh, well, hola, Anthony. I, you know, I'm very, very, very grateful, like, for the fans and, like, for fan interactions. And, you know, when I get recognized, and I try to always be very, very gracious. You know, when I'm meeting someone who is a fan, I try to always ask their name. You know, it's been funny with COVID. I thought that, you know, like, masks, like, would sort of, like, take all of that away, but I have a very recognizable voice. And so even if I'm, like, just in the market
and
or
your
if I'm,
eyes.
If I'm anywhere, thank you.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Like,
it
always
is,
a
it's
smile.
The voice and
it's
the
smile.
Eyes. Like, you could be, like, in CVS down the aisle and I'd be like, is that Jamie?
Oh, you're so sweet.
It's true.
Well, a friend of mine that I hadn't seen in years and years and years recognized me the other day at the market because of my tabbies, which I thought, he's like, I thought that was you. And then I saw your tabbies and I knew it was you. But I try to always be very gracious when I meet fans because I'm so grateful because I literally would not have a career if it wasn't for people watching the work that I do. So, I mean, but as far as a memorable interaction. I mean, it would 100% hands down have to be every single time I met someone in Brazil. I mean, the Brazilian fans are like their passion and their love yeah. is through the roof, to the moon and back to the moon again. The Brazilian fans are, you know, hands down the most enthusiastic, the most loving, the most vocal. Yeah, so every interaction I've had in Brazil, super gorge.
Oh, we need to go to Brazil, Gigi.
Oh, my
I mean,
goodness.
Hello. I need yeah. to like literally see like Pablo Vittar perform.
Oh my God, I would love to see Pablo Vittar.
I saw her like in a crowd somewhere one time. We took a photo, but I'm like, I want to see you on stage shaking that ass.
Oh my God, yes. There's so many good DJs, Brazilian DJs too, that are like house music. And so, oh my God, I would love to just go back to Brazil and party. I never got to party when I was there. It's always yes. work, work, work.
We need to.
We're going. Thank you so much, Anthony. Okay, are we ready for our third and last question?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Hi, Gigi and Mimi. This is Eli from Toronto calling. Hello, my Toronto sisters. I just wanted to say a big thank you to you both for the blessing that is this podcast. I've not only been endlessly entertained and impressed with how incredible the content is, but I feel like I've also learned so much from yourselves and also from your guests. And for me, I feel like I especially learned from when you guys interviewed Laganja Estranja. I was wondering if you could share some of your favorite moments from your interviews. Was there a specific guest story or moment that has stuck with you? Or what's the biggest thing that you've learned from one of your guests? Again, thank you so much for the podcast. I love you both, and I hope you both have a very beautiful day. Mwah.
Thank you so much, Eli from Toronto, hometown. I'm just going to go first because, listen, getting to do this podcast, sitting here and interviewing every single person, it blows my mind. And I act cool and I, you know, I act like it's no big deal. But like, even Jamie right now, like Sense 8 came out like in a time where it, like, life was hard, you know, like when you watch these things on TV or movies, it's your escape from the world when it's tough. So getting to see Jamie right here in front of me is insane. And like, you know, you look at It's true. And like, this is what, you know, actors do. They give you happiness when you need it. But so many, Gigi, like Chris Olsen was just here. So real, like so open with what he was saying. Oh, Sarah McBride, the first trans state senator, was here. And we already had experiences with her. That's insane. A lot. There's a lot of people, and every single one is insane every single time. What do you think, Gigi?
Oh, God, I just had one in my head, but after hearing those names, it's gone. fuck, who was I going to say? I mean, one of them. So we just had Eureka O'Hara on, mm-hmm. and there's been so many. I mean, we've done over 30 at this point, right? Over 35? Mm-hmm. She explained, so she is, are you familiar with Eureka?
No.
Eureka O'Hara, she's a drag queen. Mm-hmm. She was sitting just literally right here where you are, and she explained that she transitioned for a boy in high school. Or college. She transitioned for him for 4 years. He didn't treat her right. So she transitioned back. And I thought, how does it feel to, like, you know, detransition? And she really broke it down and was like, this is my retransition. And it shaped the way that I think about it, because I think that it's not explained well enough, because I mm-hmm. really do think, like, if I were to, you know, go female to male again, which is totally, you know, not correct yeah. nowadays, but if I were to, I would really see it as like stripping a layer back. But I've lived all these years and grown so much in my gender and in my expression that it is a retransition. And I thought that was really beautifully put. And I was mm-hmm. like, damn, like I was not expecting to get like schooled like that. But now I think differently about it. Like, transitioning and gender is not linear. Sometimes there are road bumps, and sometimes you really do like change your mind and make a huge change again, just like you did in the first place. And I think it's beautiful.
It is. Jamie, for you, do you have any like inspirational stories from people you admire that you've gotten to work with in your career, or maybe like bumped into?
Oh, well, I mean, like the core one was the first like legit acting job that I had was on this show called Hung, which was on HBO ages ago. And it was Thomas Jane who was the lead on the show. And it was my last day. And we shot our last scene and we were in the little golf cart, you know, on the Warner Brothers lot. And we were, you know, going back, you know, to base camp. And he, you know, like turned around and, you know, to me in the little backseat of the little golf cart, you know, and he was like, you know, so it's your last, you know, that's it. You know, you're going home tomorrow back to New York. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, you know, it was really great. And he's like, he said, you're a natural, stick with it. And it was my first job. I had barely been in those classes, you know, and I booked this job on Hung on HBO. I had like two episodes opposite Thomas Jane, you know, I mean, he's
gorgeous,
iconic act. I mean, he's so amazing. Mm-hmm. And it was those words, you know, you're a natural, stick with it. He knew it was my first job. And he was so patient with me and so kind. And that's what I did. I went back to New York, and that's when I enrolled in proper scene classes and things like that. But I mean, you know, it's like what you were saying earlier. I mean, I've had the opportunity to meet some incredible, amazing people who I've looked up to for a very, very, very long time. And it's one of the reasons, again, why I try to stay like so, like kind and present and humble when I'm meeting someone, because I've definitely had those experiences, you know, where I've met someone that I really, really, really like, and they were not nice at all.
Just be fucking normal.
I just be not. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, it takes 2 seconds for you, you know, to say thank you because, you know, like I loved you in whatever I loved you in, you know, or whatever. And then I'm sorry you're having a bad, it's like, we're all having bad days. We're all experiencing different things, but that is not the fan's fault.
Right. You know? Like, oh my God, I loved you in Sense8. Be like, oh my God, thank you. What was your favorite part? Like, give something.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Please. Like, be normal.
Exactly. And
like,
I'm not
people are
be...
so, their egos, so far up their own asses.
Exactly. I'm not going to be a bitch to a fan just because, you know, like, I got, you know, like, cut off on the freeway and I'm, you know, now where I'm in a parking lot and I'm like, rawr, and I'm like, fuck you and you like me, fuck off. Like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you told that guy on the golf cart? I forget his name.
Thomas Jane.
Told him that he affected your life that much?
Well, he knows because I've said, I mean, I've told that story like dozens of times in press, but I haven't told him like to his face or anything. I mean, I would love to see him.
You
again.
Have to.
Yeah, I mean, I would totally be
we
like,
have to
you
find
know, like,
him.
Full
like,
circle.
You were the moment. Like, you were the totally the moment. I mean, yeah, that was, it was, to have someone of his caliber say that to me, yeah, it was
life-changing.
It was. It honestly was.
That is so beautiful.
Aww.
Well, those are all our queries for today. Thank you so much, Jamie, for coming on.
Thank you both. Gigi, Mimi, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much. This has been an honor. Thank you.
For me too.
Yeah, you were such a pleasure. Where can people find you? What are you working on? Give us all the deets, all the exclusives.
So I'm only on Instagram and Twitter. My handle on both of those socials is at Ms. Jamie Clayton. Everything else is fake. Everything else is trash. Report it all. So I'm going to be back on the L Word Generation Q season 3. We're going to start filming this summer, which is very exciting.
So I'm exciting.
Coming back and better than ever as Tess Vandenberg. And then Hellraiser is coming out. I don't know when. I can't tell you. And I also have an animated series that I do a voice in called Twilight of the Gods, which was directed by Zack Snyder. Some of you DC Comics fans might be familiar with the name Zack Snyder. I recorded that last year. They've been animating it for the past year. That should come out this summer as well. So Twilight of the Gods, the L Word Generation Q, and Hellraiser, just a couple of, you know, fun little
She
projects.
Is working.
Oh, girl. Yeah. She's booked. She's busy. She's blessed.
Yes, thank you.
You really are like an inspiration for everybody out there. I hope you guys got some wisdom from today's show.
Oh, I hope so too.
And thank you, Jamie, again.
Thank you. Bye.
We love you.
Bye. Love you.
See you guys on the next one.
Stay queerified.
Thanks to our very special guest, Jamie Clayton, and thank you so much for listening. You can follow us on Instagram at Gigi Gorgeous and me at Mark Maverick.
And as always, Queerified is a presentation of Ramble, a Cadence 13 studio. Please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes. Available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you get your podcasts. See you in the next one.